Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Draftmas Eve. Today is the day I get to watch Draft Day, one of the worst movies of all time, but in like a weird way, great movie. It's a terrible movie. It is absolutely horrid, but I watch it every single year. This day, the day before the draft, excited about that. And we do this show as well every year. I completed my first and only entire first round mock draft with no trades. I mean, we're going to go over that, but the crux of this episode is very, very simple. Who I think the 49ers are actually going to draft. We'll go through that process. And, you know, I got three rush crushes in there. I did get a trade in, and not in the first round, but in the second round. Again, spoiler alerts, I'm really, really bad at that. But that's going to be kind of, again, the title. This is who the 49ers are drafting. I'm confident. Why not? I should not be confident. Nobody should be confident. I picked 27 and 58 and then no third rounder. It's a weird draft to predict. But it's what it is. Oh, what's up? Look at this. Johnny Dale in the chat, the man, Johnny Dale Football Academy. Everybody go check him out. Where your podcasters go to learn about football. Johnny is the freaking man and a friend. What's up, brother? Very, very, very happy to see you. So a couple things, announcements real quick. We will be live days one, day two, and day three of the draft. Every time the 49ers on the clock, we'll be live before the draft starts. So 15 minutes before the actual draft start time, which we're going live 4:45 tomorrow Pacific time. The draft starts at 5. First pick probably won't be until 5:30, which every year it's like 45 minutes or whatever. But I'm just too excited. I can't wait. I'm too excited. So join us. And that video is live on YouTube right now. So you can go turn on your notifications so that when we hit the live, you are with us. Chuck's going to be with me. Ant from 49ers Cutback, obviously. Louder might stop in some. It's just going to be fun. And the first round's short now, shorter, 2 minutes less. It's literally an hour left, 2 minutes times 32 picks, 64 minutes less. So my guess is 2 to 3 hours. That's what it's going to be. But be with us all of first round. We'll be together all of the second round until the 49ers picks are exhausted. We'll be there a little bit after the fact. Then I'll start breaking down film. And then day three, same thing. So if they get some sixth, seventh round picks, we'll stick around longer, all those kind of things. Also, our predict the pick competition that we do every year, very simple. You're going to email us 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. Simple, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. Five names that you think the 49ers are going to draft. Whoever gets the most names correct wins. If there is a tie, which the past 2 years, the winner has gotten two correct, the earliest submission wins. What do you win? You're looking at it. Your own 49ers Rush hat, which if you're listening to audio-wise, we designed our own hat with the, you know, little badge on the Golden Gate Bridge. And if you want to buy this hat, it is in the link of the description of this video. Shout out Torian Pines. Oh, it's on the other side. There it is. And so anyway, Hive and Pines, there it is, not Torrey Pines. It's not the Masters or one of the majors. Anyway, we'll send this to you for free. You can look fresh. We sell these at all of our 49ers Rush events, but we'll send you one for free. But if you want to buy your own 49ers Rush hat, support the show. I'm not very good at the marketing and the branding and all that kind of stuff. I wish I was better. But yeah, we designed this bad boy. You can see it. You can go buy it. It is up in the link of this video. You can go get that. But yeah, send in your... You guys, this is the first time I announced it, so you guys got dibs. So if you get two right, chances are you'll win. And shoot, you could probably even steal my answers, but that's okay. So that's what we got on the agenda today. What's up, Matthew, my man? RTPFTW. I love it. I love it. Steven, my man, Big Red. Chapman, I love it. Yatsik, we got a lot of fun people in the chat today. It's going to be a good show. It says, hey, JC. Hey, Faithful. One more wake up. Until the 49ers trade out of the first round, I would not be upset. You know, if we record all day tomorrow during the draft, only for the 49ers to trade out, that's a win. It's a little anticlimactic. I understand that. I'll take it in a heartbeat. Trade back is the way to go. The problem, and, you know, I was doing my full mock draft all morning, you know, all 32 teams, and I'd probably say every other pick, I was like, man, this team should really trade back. Man, this team should really trade back. And there were only like two or three times where I was like, this team could trade up to guarantee that they go get one of these. So you have to have two to tango. You really, really do. If the 49ers were able to trade out of the first, I'd be ecstatic. I think trading out of the second round is a little more likely. We'll detail the trade that, you know, I went through. But we'll have to see how that kind of plays out. Love all the hashtag CCs. Here we go. I did it in Dak Prescott. But here we go. Brian, what's up, man? He says, do they ever draft someone we think they will draft in the first round? Every other year they do. You know, the Ricky Pearsall, nobody had. That was the reach of all reach, but it was a fit. If he just stays healthy, it's a perfect pairing with Shanahan and Brock Purdy. He's just got to stay healthy. Last year, Mikael Williams, I nailed the first, second, fourth, and fifth rounder. Marquis Siegel, we got CJ West, we got Alfred Collins, and we got, I do not expect to get four right this year, for damn sure. But, and to be fair, I had them taking CJ West in the third round, not the fourth round. So I got four players correct, not at their actual spots. I got three players correct at their spots. I do not expect to replicate that success probably ever. But got to kind of, you know, flaunt it just a little bit, right? Whenever you get some right, but whenever you get wrong, nobody can predict it. Which that's what this is going to be. Maria, what's up? She says, this draft feels like it's going to be unpredictable and potentially a good one for best player available and for undrafted free agents. I like that. And the mock draft that I did today, all the wide receivers were gone. All of them were gone. There is a chasm between the top flight wide receivers and then the second round wide receivers. I don't feel that's the way with the edge position. Edge position is a little bit different. But for the wide receiver position, yeah, it's there's a chasm there. There is a chasm. Yeah, what's up, man? Oh, I love this. Everybody giving Johnny Dale some love. I love it, love it. What's up, Gabriel? Appreciate all the hashtag CCs. You guys are the best. What's up, Sean? Hey, Kimbro, my man. We got everybody in here. And I have to say thank you to our executive producers. The whole reason why we get to do this show full time, they were the ones that helped me get the jump going to do this full time. We're on 10 years now as of tomorrow because we started our show. Our annual clock starts with the draft. That was the first show we ever did. And so, yeah, the Solomon Thomas, that's we have been here, quote unquote, as long as Shanahan, which is crazy. But thank you to Corey Robbins, 49ers George, 365, and David Gill. They are awesome. Mama Taros, everyone has this taking a tackle. I don't get it. And Caleb Lamu, like, I'm just going to be honest. I don't get that. I don't understand it. Like, probably the least position flexibility of the offensive tackles. The film is underwhelming. You watch Utah, and they chip for him every single play. About 90% of plays, he has a tight end, a wing, or a running back chipping for him. They never left him one-on-one as a left tackle. He gets no movement in the run game. He's a good player. I have a second-round grade on him. But whenever I watch Caleb Lomu, I'm just like, dude, I don't get it. If you told me they were drafting Max Ihonatiore, I get it. Blake Miller, I get it. Caleb Lomu, I don't get it. I'm sorry. Like, which probably means that's who they're going to draft. And if they do, here's the positives in that. They finally drafted, they haven't drafted offensive tackle four straight drafts. Neglected the position through the draft. Like, so that's a positive. Built through the trenches. Huge positive. He's a scheme fit. And he's a pass pro stud. That's what he does. It's just, man, the ceiling is limited for me. If you got Max Ihonatiore, I'd be pretty ecstatic, actually, because I do think he could play left guard. I do think he could play right tackle. I do think he could play left tackle. I think he could play right left guard. I think he could play almost anything he wants to. And everybody always, let me choose my words carefully here. Max Ihonatiore, if you hear somebody say he's raw, I don't think that they've watched his tape. I don't want to be too critical of others on this show. Not my thing. But, like, it is a clear, this is an AI search, or they're just taking other people's information and reposting it. If somebody calls Max Ihonichor raw because he's new to the position, I don't think that they've watched the tape. Because raw is the wrong word. It's untapped potential. Because his tape is much more advanced than a lot than Caleb Lahmu. It's not even close. Like, you want to talk raw? Like, Caleb Lahmu is raw, right? Monroe Freeling is raw. And I think he's going to go really, really high in this draft. Like, there's a lot of guys with raw tape. Max Ihonichor is not raw. It's untapped. You see glimpses of greatness. He's just not maxed out, but he's way more consistent than a lot of these guys that are going to go ahead of him. Aaron, look at this. Chapman finally bringing us the clickbait titles. Maybe that is clickbait. I feel better. This is my stance. Like, I came up with five titles. I was like, dude, I can't make this fit on a thumbnail. This is who the 49ers are drafted. This is my opinion and who I think they're drafting. But yeah, thanks for charging me up, Aaron. I appreciate you, man. Always hold me accountable. What's up, Steelmatic, Big John Stud? What's up, man? That's what's up. JD. John, my work schedule's not cooperating with me catching it live anymore and training now. We'll have to watch later. Keep us informed. Dude, hopefully work's going well. Make that money, dude. Make that money. Gabriel says, so you're telling me it's not Lahmu? No, I think it, because I'm so against it, it probably is him. There are positives to it. But that's okay. Look at this, 7:25. Your intro music interrupted my Keelon Rutledge film session. Dude, way to go. Way to grind the tape. Way to grind the tape. And I probably didn't say it enough this year. Watching highlights is fun, but that's like reading a dating profile. Watching all 22 film, that's like interviewing the player's exes. You learn the good, the bad, the ugly. And so if you want to like a player, and again, this is in preparation for tomorrow, because not everybody's going to be happy with the pick. And we're in the stage now of the draft process where it doesn't matter who I say, whom I say. Somebody's like, oh no. And I post something on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or wherever, TikTok, wherever we post all of our stuff. Shout out to Eric Meisner, our freaking social media guy. People get upset. People's stances are entrenched. And there will be a point in this draft, 49ers have a very unique board always, where we're going to go, who? Really? Dang, that's a reach. 49ers reach more than any other team in the NFL. SF Niners data put out, they have their own board, and they will reach. They do not care. The bad thing is they've been horrible with their reaches, and they haven't hit. But if the Niners draft a player that you're just like, damn it, I don't like this guy, go watch their highlights. Go watch their highlights. And everybody's highlights is worthy of whatever. So whenever that happens, I remember the AJ Jenkins, and I apologize for saying his name. I remember when they drafted him, and I was just like, what the? And so I spent the next 2 days just watching tape, and I was like, all right, I can kind of see it. The funny thing is about AJ Jenkins, he was like a poor man's Omar Cooper Jr., where it's like, he can kind of do a little bit of everything, but he doesn't do anything great. Now, I think Omar Cooper Jr. is awesome, and I would be very happy if the 49ers got him at pick 27. But it was just like A.J. Jenkins just – and then the work ethic, the off-the-field, all that stuff, just none of that was there. Character wasn't there. And so it's just like – but we all do this where we convince ourselves that somebody is a great player, whether he is or he isn't. It's tribal instinct. It is what we do, and we'll be guilty of it. I'll be guilty of it. And man, shout out to my man, Michael Pickle. I was talking to him yesterday, and I don't think I've done my job very well this draft season, because I keep getting a lot of these messages of just like, I'm not too excited about this draft. I'm not too pumped about this draft. There's not a lot of, and I'm just like, man, the Niners are going to be adding 6 players to their team. They are going to get better. This roster is incredible. So I apologize, because I don't think I've sold the enthusiasm that we should have that the Niners are going to get better. And I think that should be exciting. right? And so, you know, I don't want to just be the constant homer and whatever else. But, man, I've gone to so many draft events and held draft events. This is the time of hope and excitement. One of my favorite things, if you've never attended a draft in person, please do so. Because it's one of a kind. You have all 32 teams representing, except for the Rams, because they don't have fans. They literally have to hire people to sit in the Rams section, like, for the thing, because there's just not enough of that. I've seen it time and time again. But anyway, it's so cool because nobody's really against each other at that moment. And it's just this huge kind of, I don't know, like Avengers League of Nations type setting where you could just talk to a Packers fan or a Lions fan or a Steelers fan or whomever and just talk football. Who do you like? Oh, you want to land this guy? Who are you guys looking for? It's really, really cool, like, energy. And, man, I wish this year does feel like maybe not too exciting, but there's never been a draft where at 20, there's 27 first round. I've never had 27 first round grades ever. The 49ers won a playoff game on the road last year. You're not going to be picking early. So you've got to get creative and you got to find something. There's going to be a damn good player available at 27. Can the Niners identify that? And that's where the excitement should be. That's where it should be. Doc, appreciate you, man. He says, get him, John. Trade up for Ty Simpson. Can't miss. we got a great quarterback room. The regular season is wrapped and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs, and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick during any of the 2026 NBA playoffs. Live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
I don't love it. Oh, Johnny Dale, my man. All love to you, my friend. Keep holding Twitter down while I'm still in the netherworld. If it makes you feel any better. So, like, Johnny Dale's Twitter got hacked with that same thing where it's like, oh, I'm in a podcast finals. Click this link. Vote for me. Which I get like 15 a day. And so what I've started to do, and I apologize once you get back into your account, I start cussing these dudes out, or girls. I don't know. Girls can hack too. But I just start calling them bitches and like, man, you're a punk. I go after them. So, Johnny, once you get back in there, the language is not meant for you. I get so upset that people steal and rob from people just working. I can't stand it. But, yeah, we'll get you back out there soon. You are the man. Big Toad, look at the super chat. A Stone Cold poster should be required for Texans. Dude, I should freaking, you know, do the whole thing. I wasn't the biggest wrestling guy. It was whenever I was little. But, yeah, who doesn't like Stone Cold Steve Austin, man? I freaking love it. And for all my wrestling peeps out there, you guys are awesome. Always bringing that. If you know somebody, this is true for so many of my friends, that are still into wrestling, they're like the funnest freaking people. They're the funnest people. They just want to have a good time. Not my jam. But, man, thank you. Oscar, thank you for the super chat, my friend. He says, my final mock draft ended up with these picks. Ooh, let's grade Oscar's mock. Oscar knows what the hell he's talking about, by the way. Akeem Mesidor at 27. Skylar Bell, 58. Takario Davis, 127. Nick Singleton, 133. Travis Burke, 138. Xavier Harris, 139. I love it. I love it. I love it. I will tell you this. There is not one but two players on your mock draft that are also on my mock draft. So, I had Akeem Mesidor still there at 27. I chose to go elsewhere. Still went with the edge position. I like Akeem Mesidor a lot. I love the tape. The shoulder surgeries, that's rough. The age, that's rough. But you're talking about plug-and-play type guy that could do it all. He's incredible. 25 years old, it's rough. And I wish he had a little bit more burst and tested a little bit better, but damn good player. Skylar Bell, love him. Yeah, that's a damn good draft. I'm not the biggest Nate Singleton guy, but in the fourth round, jeez. Yeah. And Xavier Harris got the off-the-field stuff, but at 139, the 4 hours met with him. Damn good pick. I off the top of my head, dude, I'm fine with that. I'm going B+, A-. And like, I only say that because I don't think I'm going to have any mock draft graded A+, pick it at 27. I'm not a big A+ giver guy. I was whenever I was a teacher. I gave a lot of A+s. I was that guy. But anyway, do with that what you will. Right here, David says, in number 27, Malachi Lawrence, second round, Rutledge. I ain't mad at that. Logan, 27, Cassius Howell. I like Cassius Howell more than Mekhi Lawrence. I'm not sure the 49ers do. With, you know, Robert Saleh and D'Amico Ryans, arm length was paramount. Not as much as Trent Baalke, but they didn't go after short-armed guys. Little bit different with Raheem Morris because he's got that 3-4 background, so you can get by with short arms. If my choice, if I was the general manager, I would take Cassius Howell over Mekhi Lawrence. I'm not sure the Niners would. I'm not sure the Niners. 58, assuming no trade back, Jeremy Bernard. Jeremy Bernard was gone for me in the second round. I would love that. We'll talk a little bit about that. Appreciate you guys. Look at this. Another freaking wrestling reference. Let's go. A few minutes late, I feel like the Ultimate Warrior running into the ring to get this podcast live. Man, the tassels going all freaking hardcore. The Ultimate Warrior. Who didn't like that dude growing up? That's what's up. Right here, Benjamin. John, if we can't trade back, do you think we'll reach for somebody they like? Lawrence? Like Lawrence? Yeah, I do. And I just don't know how a trade back takes place. You're not going to get value. You're going to have to lose value. So you could get a trade back, but you're not getting what the pick is worth. Is it better to stay there and get the pick in the first round, get that fifth-year option that the 49ers never use? Or is it better to trade back and just get an extra third or get an extra fourth or something along those lines? It's going to be rough because you've got the team picking 32, Seattle, that is broadcasting live to everybody. Hey, we're trying to trade back. We're trying to trade back. We're trying to trade back. And so you're getting undercut, right? The market values supply and demand. There's too much supply. There's too much. So it's just the way it's going to go. So any trade back that the 49ers do get accomplished, you're not going to be getting much value. You're just not. Johnny says, take the victory. I was so behind on the chat. Oh, my gosh. Big Toe, man. I've been here since 2017, 2018, 18 months membership. I've been here longer. Big Toe, thank you, man. We've been going for a while. And I'm very thankful because this was never the goal. Yeah, I don't share my story a lot. You know, my career was coach. That's what it was. I was a lifer. I was coaching in Duncanville, Texas, working my way up the ladder, whatever else. And like, I was coach. That's just what my career was going to be. It's what I was going to retire, all that stuff. The wife and I became foster parents, which was one of the best decisions I ever made. One of the hardest decisions I ever made. Those little punks, these two little brothers who I adopted, and they're still my boys today. They're 22 and 17 now. Wow, that's crazy. But the first month we got them, they both got expelled. And, you know, here I was at Duncanville sleeping in my office two nights a week, breaking down film and doing everything I could to whatever. And I couldn't do it anymore. I just couldn't do it. So I had to give up the football coaching thing until the kids kind of got on their feet. And, you know, I think they were kicked out of like 9 foster homes before they got to us. And we were just supposed to have them for like 6 weeks. But the way things worked out, we were able to move forward with adoption. We adopted both of them. So the first foster kids we got, we actually adopted. But there was just no way that I could go back to working 90 hours a week, which is stupid. Like, it is stupid. But, like, that was my career. You know what I mean? I was all in, going to do everything. Blah, you know, first one there to turn off the lights and open the things. And last one, that was my mentality. It's how I was raised. But whenever I gave that up, like, I got real sad. I got depressed. And, you know, I was just teaching and then being home, which just teaching, like, it was awesome. And I loved it. And then I was like, you know what? This is just my life. I'm just going to teach and I'm going to take care of these boys. But I, like, it was hard. The identity crisis of going from coach to Mr. Chapman and not having spending that time with all those kids, you know, developing whatever. I struggled. And my buddy Charles, who's going to be on the podcast tomorrow, was like, dude, start a podcast. It was his idea. He's like, dude, start a podcast. You know football. Like, just talk football. Talk Niners, whatever. We did the NFL Express, me and Charles. I was doing some fantasy football content. And I was doing the 49ers Rush. And so I had these three different channels. And I was, you know, teaching and whatever. But I was able to be at home with the boys and, you know, record at night. I remember I used to record literally out of my wife's dresser. I'd set my laptop down. And like out of her clothes dresser, I'd pull the drawer out that, like, you know, it's just audio only over 10 years ago. And sure enough, the 49ers Rush kind of took off to the point where I left the other two shows just so I could focus on this and kept teaching for 3 more years to the point where it was just like, man, I think this is a full-time gig now. Sponsors started throwing me money and subscribers and all this stuff. And it was so cool. It was so cool. And so here we are now. This is episode 1,638 of the 49ers Rush podcast. 10 years in. Yeah, it's crazy, man. And I'm just very thankful. And the only reason why I get to do this is because of you guys. And so whenever I look at, and it's a constant, you know, going back, like, what is my job? There's 60 49ers channels. I'm thankful for all of them. Obviously, I don't consume a lot of that content because I don't want to be influenced by other people's ideas too much. I want to bring fresh ideas. But my role in this sphere is to, one, make it more fun to be a 49ers fan. Like, that's number one. And I don't think I did my job very well this offseason. We got a lot of stuff going on family-wise. Good things, bad things. Like, we're okay. But, like, joy. Like, this is my dream job that I never even wanted to have. And I'm very thankful. But I want to make being a 49ers fan more fun and enjoyable. And I want to inform from a coaching perspective, a film perspective. That's why we do the draft book. That's why we do all those draft notes. And if, you know, you haven't yet, go sign up, the49ersrush.com. This is the best week ever, by the way, because the49ersrush.com or our Patreon channel, patreon.com/49ersrushpodcast, because one, you get our draft book, you get our War Room big board. We have a website that was developed for us by PB Systems that is freaking badass, where you get to compare different prospects and you see their web charts and stats and all this stuff. It's awesome. It's incredible. That's on both those. Then all the video breakdowns of every single prospect we get, the coaches tape, and I'll break down each play by play. And on top of that, we're going to be having our Zoom hangout after the draft next week, Monday or Tuesday. I got to get with the wife to see what day that's going to be. But like, dude, you sign up 7-day free trial, get all of that and cancel. It would not cost you a penny. So if money's tight for you, go sign up 7-day free trial and then you cancel it. Once we're done with all that stuff, it won't cost you a penny. Now, if you do like it, stick around. Support us. Speaking of supporting us, this is one of our executive producers right here, my man, Licensed to Gill. It says, finally a live show. Been a minute with work. Always getting in the way of what's really important. The Rush crew. Man, appreciate you. David Gill, you are a freaking legend. And I'm just so thankful for you guys, man. Gosh, I am so far behind in the chat. I'm just scrolling. I apologize. I'm skipping over way too many comments. Yeah, right here. Let's get through just a couple of these. Y'all stop sleeping on Brendan Thompson. I like Brendan Thompson. I really, really do. He is an upgraded Jacob Cowing. Can he get through routes on air? I like him. Oh, another wrestling one. Ric Flair, styling, profiling. Woo! Nature boy. I love it, man. Absolutely love it. Let's see here. Get through a couple more of these. Right here, Mr. Sweeted. Lomu was an Outland Trophy candidate, first team Big Ten. He's 6'6", 313. I heard he's soft. Is he soft? Yes, he is. Very soft. He gets no movement, not mean, doesn't block angry. He's just happy being an in-the-way guy. But he's a pass pro stud. And in today's NFL where teams are throwing, 49ers throw a lot now, he throws a lot. Right here, Gravy, will the front office draft a 25-year-old when Lynch says he wants young players? He even mentioned this a little bit where he was like, man, we're just trying to get them through 4 years. So even if they are older, and that's kind of life post-COVID, the draft, you're going to get older guys. It just is. So I think Akeem Bessador is on the board. There were just enough, like, this whole draft is what if. Yeah, but that's the whole draft. And at 27, I'm higher on Cassius Howell than I am a lot of guys. But that arm, and so once you get to guy like Malachi Lawrence, it's like, okay, he's got the arm length. He's got the production, you know, 20-plus sacks, you know, throughout his career, multiple years production, decent versus the run, strong, elite acceleration. Like, Cassius Howell's the fastest person in this draft class. Number two is Malachi Lawrence. And to prove that, let's do this. I'm a smart man. I can figure this out. Like, we even have, like, charts up. Let me zoom in just a little bit more so we can see it. Here we go. Like, let me put this just up. Sorry. So, like, part of our draft book, we did a really good job. Shout out to Ben. I mean, he's just a freaking stud. Like, we have all of these different charts that we could share that we, like, created. So, edges by 10-yard split, right? This is the GTFO that Chris Kucerik talks about all the time. And so, you've got, you know, Cassius Howell ran a 1.58, Malachi Lawrence 1.59. Trey Moore, my Texas boy, 1.6, you know, 1.6 flat. Like, so if you're looking at these, whatever. So, like, I like Cassius Howell more, but the arm length is a question mark. You get to Malachi Lawrence, and it's just like, it's hard to find major question marks. He just checks a lot of the boxes. But anyway, we've got like 10 plus charts over there that are similar like that. We've got like wide receiver target rates and yak and havoc rate, blah, blah, blah. Go check it out. You will be well informed. Johnny, would you take a flyer on a mid-round guy that's high ceiling, real low floor, like Vincent Anthony? I obviously, the later you get in the draft, I am so much more excited about players that are riskier. I don't like risk early. I am a Tony Gwynn. Dude, that's just way back whenever I was single. Like, my wife might get mad at me here, but I love her, and we've been married almost 20 years now. Like, I had a Tony Gwynn approach. And what I meant by that was, look, man, let's just say the most beautiful woman in this world walks into a room, and I'm single while I was in college or whatever, right? Let's just say I have a 2% chance of, if I go up and say hi, I got a 2% chance. You throw out whatever, 5%, 10%, whatever, I don't care. All right, so 2% chance? That just means I got to approach 50 of the most beautiful women in the world times 2%. That's 100%. I'm going to get one. Yeah, like, that was just my approach. And so whenever I look at the first round, I want guys that are going to be on my roster and contribute. If you tell me there's a reason why they can't, major injuries, major red flags, off the field, whatever, I ain't messing with that. Not early. Late, I'm cool with that. So I graded well over 200 players. Vincent Anthony Jr. out of Duke, the edge player, was not one of them, Johnny. So I have Dane Brugler's, you know, right up of him. He's 6'6", 259. That is awesome. Perfect build. 22 years old. Let's see here. Going through just his profile right now. He's started 41 games. That's awesome. 15 sacks, little bit on the low end. But man, this dude, he's a freaking beast as far as 34 plus inch arms, 83 and an eighth inch wingspan, ran a 4.8. 10-yard burst is a little slow, but just this long kind of Mikael Williams light type guy. But I love that he played all the time. I love that he did. Had a torn labrum in 2022, but played all those games. That's not, you know, I love that. Yeah. So here's the final write-up on VJ. Anthony is an average twitch athlete who will need to learn how to combat NFL power. Plus, he plays long with the rush arsenal, projects as a designated pass rusher at the next level with the best case outcome of an Arden Key type career. So, like, if you don't get Gabe Akis, this is a guy you get late. But in the fourth round, this is a guy that is a seventh round priority free agent. So if you do a trade back in the sixth, cool. Probably wouldn't spend a fourth round pick on him. But, man, his measurables, I think he's getting drafted. 22, 6'6", 260 with those arms. Teams covet that. Get him in there. Let's see what it is. Appreciate you, Gabriel. You're the man. All right, let's scroll down. Right here, 49er faithful. John, likelihood of your UT guy, Muhammad. He's my favorite player in this draft, Malik Muhammad, corner. I did not have the 49ers selecting him. I had him off the board in the second round. I'm scrolling down right here. I'm so behind in the chat. I apologize. How did you end up moving from Texas to California? My wife got a job in Southern California. And so for people who don't know, my wife is a pastor. She runs churches. And so she got hired at a church out in Pasadena. So we moved. I can work from anywhere. I just need internet connection. And then she got hired in the Bay Area. We're in the East Bay now. Her church is up in Kensington. We live in El Cerrito, kind of the East Bay area. And so I just follow my wife around wherever she gets hired. Very thankful. And she's awesome. She makes people's lives better every single day. She's always helping people. That one 49er fan. Dude, this is cool. His comment. You low-key inspired me, bro. I have 4,300 subs because of you and others, man. You were definitely an inspiration. Dude, that is badass. I'm very thankful for you. Any way I can ever help. Dude, you are freaking awesome. You're the man. David, what's up, man? We talked about David's comment yesterday with Malachi Fields, and it was good emailing with you, brother. He says, if I ever get to quit my job and do something I love, it will be because the Chapman inspired me. Love the JC story. The trick I tell people is, like, you just, whatever you love, do it. Find it in your off time, and if you're good at it and you enjoy it, you just keep doing it, and then it's an organic switch. Like, if that's something you want, go get it. Not that it's easy, because, yeah, there were a lot of days where... I didn't think 40 hours rush was going to make it, but here we are. Shade, one of my best friends. Appreciate you, man. John makes life more fun and enjoyable. Hey, you're the man. Leon, are you doing the roster countdown again this year? Yes. Modified. Again, this year, youngest has graduated, moving down to Texas, become a firefighter. So we're going to be moving him down there. It's my 20th anniversary. I'm taking a week off, taking the wife to France. And we're downsizing. So we're staying here in the East Bay area. I haven't found a spot yet, but the kiddo's moving out. We're empty nesters. So we're going to start saving money and downsize. So we're moving as well. So I am going to be doing the roster countdown, but in the past, for the past like 6 years, we've done one episode per player. I'm not going to do that this year. I'm going to do, you know, 90 through 85, and it's going to be a little quicker, all jumped into one episode. So, yes, we're doing that. Not going to be as intense. And I will let you know, the most stressed I ever get every single year is during that 90-man countdown where I'm in the 40s, and I'm just like, I got to do four shows today. Oh, my gosh, and I'm just so tired. So we are going to do it, just a lighter version. Paul Hope, my man, dude, I just want to say thoughts and prayers with you and your family and your wife, Tracy, I believe. Yeah, you guys are a beacon of light, and just want to let you know our thoughts and prayers with you guys. Paul says, keep an eye out for Lee Gallen and Nick Parr in Pittsburgh. Yeah, Lee texted me this morning. He said he was watching draft day as he's flying from Heathrow. I love it. Dan, Australia, 49ers worldwide. Dude, they're everywhere. We're coming to you. And if you are going to Australia, come party with us. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. We have full itinerary travel packages, flights, tickets, hotels, freaking wine tasting, going to the wildlife refuge, beach, tailgate. Ah, we got it all. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go check it out. Get your deposits in now. Almost out of time. Almost out of time for the deposits. Now, at a later time, if you're going to Australia or live there anyway, we will have tickets available for our day before rally, tailgate, post-game party, all that kind of stuff at a later date. Those aren't up right now. But if you want to come party with us in Australia with Dan, what's up, man? Go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Check it out. Check it out. Check it out. Mark, given all your mocks, what position order would be best? Wide receiver, then edge, or edge, then wide receiver? Ah, let's jump in. I did my full mock draft today of the first round, and I think that this is the problem. The wide receivers are gone. So, like, and again, if you can get a wide receiver at 27, awesome. I had them all gone. I had Carnell Tate going top five. I'm betting huge on that. I think that Carnell Tate is in play at 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, 2 through 11 could be Carnell Tate spots. Like, he's just too clean a guy. Every single team needs more wide receivers. He can play all three spots. Anyway, next up, I had Jordan Tyson going 15. I had Kenyon Sadiq going 19. Omar Cooper going 21. Denzel Boston, 24. Casey Concepcion, 26. There's no more wide receivers that are even close to worthy of that, in my opinion. And so, like, you know, Mekhi Lemon. Did I say Mekhi Lemon? Yeah, he went 13. I had the Rams. All the wide receivers are gone. If one of those five, like Denzel Boston, I think has the highest likelihood to fall. Casey Concepcion would be next. If one of those guys are there, I don't mind that. But my favorite drafts, Mark, are when you go edge, then wide receiver. Because there's so many second-round edge guys, and a lot of them were off the board. So whenever I did my who the 49ers are going to pick, let's get started on it. Let's don't get there yet. Let's talk more about this mock draft. And I'm going to scroll down for a long time because I'm so behind in this chat, man. Oh, look at this. Big Papa says, can't make Australia. Looking forward to Mexico City. We'll be there too. We are going to be for 49ers Rush Road Trip. These are the guarantees. Australia, Mexico City. Again, my goals, I have two goals as a 49ers fan. I'm a fan. I'm not an insider, never will be. Don't want to be a beat reporter. I've been offered. I said no. They told me I couldn't do tailgates if I'm going to accept credentials. I was like, yeah, this conversation's over. anyway, but my two goals as fan, never miss a 49ers international game, which they gave us two this year, Australia, Mexico. I'm going to be at both, guaranteed. And never miss a 49ers Cowboys game. Again, I grew up in Dallas. My, you know, whole reason why I'm a 49ers fan is because I hated my stepdad, who was a diehard Cowboys fan. So I rooted for the 49ers to piss him off. So for the 49ers Rush Road Trip, Australia, Mexico, we're going to Dallas. I ain't missing that one. We're going to Kansas City. We're going to Atlanta. Those are the five, like, guaranteed. Probably going to be in Seattle again, because Alex in Seattle Faithful is awesome, and I love that stadium. It's just such a good time. Plus, the last time I was there, we got our ass beat, and I got to go back. And then also probably going to be down in Arizona too, because it's just such an easy fun. And the Arizona chapter is pretty freaking great. And so like that's seven. I keep saying I want to do less, but then these cities and I'm just like, all right, I gotta go. But the five that are 100% locks, Mexico City, Australia, Dallas, Kansas City, Atlanta. Those I will not miss no matter what the date is. So we will be there. What's up, Ben? Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. So right here. So if you draft Lawrence, do you move Mikel to the five tech? I don't think you have to. And also, I'm not sure when Mikel is going to be back. You know, I pulled up the injury timeline. Mikel Williams tore his ACL on November 2nd. 9 months from that is August 2nd. That's when I expect him to be fully cleared. So, like, I think Mikel might even start on the PUP list, definitely for camp. But he might even be on the PUP list. I don't think he will be, but there's a chance he's on the PUP list. Like, I want Malachi Lawrence to come in and just say, look, dude, you're doing one thing. You're coming in on third and long and second and long, and you're rushing the passer, and that's it. And I think, you know, you move Keon White to start. So I would have Keon White starting and Nick Bosa until Mikel Williams is 100%. You want to throw Sam O up there. I'm cool with that as well. But I think that the one luxury that the 49ers have at this position is that you have these four buck style ends that can do that. You got the wide nine and all that stuff, but Sam O, Keon White, Mikel Williams can all kind of play that role. I just want Malachi Lawrence rushing. That's it. And so I want him in the D Ford / Bryce Huff role. Cassius Howell role. Not Cassius Howell. What was his freaking name? One does not simply replace Cassius. What was his name? Cassius Marsh. There we go. I just want him being kind of that special rusher. That's it. That's all I want him to. I don't want him out there on base downs. And yeah, it might only get, you know, 15 to 20 snaps a game, but I'm cool with that. So that's what I would do. But that's just me. And so again, looking at this draft, like the 49ers are on the board. Emmanuel McNeil Warren, that's the most pushback I'm getting online. It's like, man, why wouldn't you take him? I don't think the 49ers value safety enough. And I think this is a great safety class. And I took a safety in my mock draft that I'm going to get to for the 49ers, but late. I just don't value. And the fact that you have three rookie centers in the room, rookie contract centers, right? Malik's awesome. I still have faith in Siegel. Jair Brown, I'm pretty much done with. But Jerry Gray, one of the best secondary coaches in NFL recent history, is there now. Hopefully you fortify some of that. And the Niners just don't value that position, like, at all. So you've never spent higher than a third-round pick on it. Saying they're going to take a first round. Now, if Dylan Thienemann was there, who I had going pick 18, maybe. I'm way higher on Dylan Thienemann. I know a lot of people love Emmanuel McNeil Warren. He's good, but like, if I'm going to spend that premium position first round pick on a safety, which I would not, I'm just telling you, I would. My philosophy lines up very similarly with the 49ers here, where they just don't. Chris Johnson was there, the corner, Akeem Mesidor, Colton Hood were there. Cassius Howell didn't go in the first round. That I would have taken Cassius Howell with this board. John Chapman would have, but this is what I think will happen. And I put a lot of bets on these exact same things that came across. Do with it what you will. I didn't have trades. There will be trades. And I agree with this. McNeil Warren is getting a bump because of Iman Wari. They're not the same player. They're not. And again, what position did Iman Wari play? Everybody keeps calling him safety. He did play safety. That dude played nickel. He played linebacker. Like, the Niners don't need that. Upton Stout, you have that. And so, like, if you draft McNeil Warren, And I know he played a lot of cover two deep half, which I do like, and I like that tape about him. The 4-5, all right, cool. I feel like he's got it, good instincts. He's got good route recognition. But, like, if I'm spending a first-round pick on a safety, you already have Malik. You already have Upton. You need the other piece. I'm not sure McNeil Warren is that. Damn good. I would love to have him on the team. I'm not saying he wouldn't make the 49ers better. I could not justify spending a first-round pick on that. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. What's up, Joe? Appreciate you, brother. Johnny says, yeah, facts. McNeil isn't Emon Worry, but everyone is trying to replicate, thinking he'll be the same guy. Just not. Don't scout the helmet, man. Don't do it. And even if you do, there's different players. Like, everybody always talks about Ohio State wide receivers. Well, they go through the most complex option route, you know, training where they're reading DBs every single play. So whenever they get to the NFL, they know how to judge coverage, read coverage, and what my, again, options, that's why it's called option routes. And then you look at Tennessee, Ole Miss, Baylor, Washington State, Mississippi State, all these other teams with elite wide receivers that don't know more than three routes. So the degree of difficulty that players went through matters. But you can't just say, oh, he's tall, he's Emon Worry. They're not the same. You put them next to each other, they don't even look alike. They don't even play alike. There's some hard hits that Emon McNeil Warren get. I don't know. But they're similar. You take that for what you will. Kilgore, same way. I think I meant to say Kilgore earlier, so I apologize about that. I do like Kilgore on Uncle Salty, and I like where he's going. Anyway, so that's my initial mock draft. And again, I do want to say, get your predict the pick in. Email us, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. Your five guesses of who you think the 49ers will pick. The more guesses you get correct, winner gets a free 49ers Rush hat. So, yeah, there you go. Go check it out. Go check it out. So let's get into it. I got to scroll back up. Man, we are I'm 48 minutes in. And I haven't even got to my notes. So here's what I did with this is who the 49ers are going to pick. I went by mock draft databases, consensus big board. 49ers are picking at 27. So whoever was 26 and above could not pick those guys. 49ers picking at 58. Whoever is 57 and above cannot pick those guys. So it wasn't a true mock draft, but I just went based off of consensus to try to create a simple narrative and kind of rubric for how we are selecting these players. And again, for pick 27, it matched up with my mock draft as well because I went Malachi Lawrence. He's my prediction for the 49ers in the first round. He is over on Mock Draft Database. Let me pull it up real quick just so we can be very, very clear and transparent and make sure. Now, obviously, something crazy could happen here. Malachi Lawrence is picked 39 on the consensus big board. You had Daniel Jeremiah talking about it in a conference call saying, man, I wouldn't be shocked if the 49ers took Malachi Lawrence. Malachi Lawrence is 30th on my big board. I don't consider it to be a reach. It's a perfect scheme fit. He's got a very clean evaluation, athletic profile, experience, burst, check, 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 check. Position of need, it's there. It's there. And if you disagree, that's okay. Disagreements are good. I'm not a smart person. It's probably good. It's probably good. Right here. Thank you, Logan. Long show with Chapman. Hell yeah. It's draft week. You're going to get about 10 plus hours of Chapman this week. So sorry about that. And yeah, right here, Coleman, as a Ducks fan, Thienemann would be my dream pick. He's a straight up ball hawk. We need him badly. Oh, I freaking love him. I'm very high on Thienemann. So I had the 49ers taking Malachi Lawrence. Then we get to pick 58. And again, over on Mock Draft Database, all the wide receivers that I had second round grades on were pretty much gone. Almost all of Chris Bell, 55. Jeremy Bernard, 56. Chris Brazel, 57. Gone, gone, gone. We're picking 58. So we get there, and then I'm like, man, the guys that I want, here was my decision-making process. I'm looking at A.J. Halsey, who's a rush-crush guy, safety. I love him. I'm looking at Keontae Scott, a freaking awesome. Ted Hurst, right? Danny Dennis Sutton, but we just got an edge, so we're not going back there. Malachi Fields, Romello Hyde, Joshua Joseph, Skylar Bell, Bud Clark, Oscar Dell. These are all the guys that I'm like, golly, man, I just like. There's a lot of guys I like. None of them I see as, probably got to get them here. So this, I think, you're going to have a much better chance to trade back than you will in the first round. Everybody in the first round is trying to trade back. I had the 49ers trading with the Patriots, okay? 49ers pick 58, Patriots pick 63. And again, almost all trade backs, you're not getting everything that you deserve. So here was the trade. The 49ers get pick 63, 131, and 212. Patriots get 58. And this is, the 49ers definitely did not get the value here. I think I want to total this up. So I probably should total this up beforehand. So 276 plus 41. I could do that. That's a 317 plus 212. Yeah. Yeah, that's 320 about. It's a little less. Yeah, 313. There we go. So that 49ers picks 320. So it's close. You're losing some points. Somebody add that up. The point decimal stuff threw me off. I'm not a smart man. Hey, how many times can I say that? But I do know what love is. thank you, Cole. Chapman is like cowboy. I need more cowbell. I got a fever. And the only thing that's going to fix it is more cowbell. I freaking love it, man. So I had the 49ers trading back and picked up an extra fourth. That's what the Niners need is 5 fourth rounders, right? And a sixth rounder. And again, John Lynch said, you know, we've got to find a way to get more picks. I think that this trade back would be perfect. The points match up, makes sense for New England. They jump up, get whomever. I didn't, you know, go through their whole draft process. But then the 49ers fall back to 63, pick up two extra picks, and I took wide receiver Skylar Bell, who's a rush crush player. Eric Crocker loves him. I love him. I think he could play all three positions, X, Z, and slot. I just love it. So my favorite thing, and Mark, you asked this question earlier, what's the best value? The best value is edge than wide receiver. Edge than wide receiver. So here's my question to you. Would you rather have Malachi Lawrence? Well, it doesn't really work because none of the wide receivers fell early. So I can't really do that exercise. But we'll do it just for shits and giggles. Would you rather have Malachi Lawrence and Skylar Bell or Casey Concepcion and Danny Dennis? Danny Dennis Sutton's more of an interior guy. Let's do Derek Moore. Yeah, because he's the only one that would have been there. Gabe was gone. Gabe Yakus was gone. So Casey Concepcion and Derek Moore or Malachi Lawrence and Skylar Bell. For me, it's not close. I would take Malachi Lawrence and Skylar Bell, which I like Skylar Bell pretty much as I like Casey Concepcion anyway. I have Malachi Lawrence way above. So there we go. So I have the 49ers trading back from 58 to 63 and taking Skylar Bell. Which I really like that one. I really, really do. So let's get to the rest of the picks right after this. I got to get a quick drink of coffee, but if you want any games, check out TickPick. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush Road Trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. All right, so the 49ers walk away with Malachi Lawrence at 27, trade back from 58, get Skylar Bell, and pick up two additional picks. At pick 127, I went cornerback to Kario Davis, who the 49ers have met with. One of those versatile pieces. He could be your safety. He could be a corner. He could be a nickel. He can kind of do it all. I really, really like, let me pull up my Takario Davis, because I wasn't like in love with him, but I think that it just kind of fits, you know, this height. And so again, you know, you talk Emmanuel McNeil Warren, Jalen Kilgore, this dude, 6'3", 194 out of Washington, 21 years old, runs a 4.4. The threshold teams are going to love him. I think he's going to go a lot earlier than people think. Great size with press man abilities, A-plus length, slow in and out of breaks, but he just seems to be able to do a little bit of everything. So I took Takario Davis, 127. At pick 133, one of my rush crush players, Zane Durant. I love Zane Durant, one of the most athletically gifted undersized defensive tackles that hasn't put it together. His athletic profile says second round. Tape says fourth round. Never missed a game at Penn State, but needs help. Dude, you just put him behind Oso Odighizuwa. Like, I love Zane Durant. I just think that is such a good fit, and just let him learn. He can be another one of those pass rushing, you know, insider guys. I like him a lot. At pick 133, I took Jack Injuries, which, you know, the pick 131 was one of the extra traded picks falling back from 58. So Zane Durant's extra. I took tight end Jack Injuries, was a Cal guy, then went to Texas, checked so many boxes. He's a fill-in to Kittle gets back. He's not Kittle. But that gives you that third stout tight end and probably makes it a little bit easier to move on from Luke Farrell. You should cut Luke Farrell and just plug Jack Injuries in, but got to see how the draft goes. Pick 138, another rush crush guy, J.C. Davis, offensive tackle, could kick into guard if you needed him to, but with the extension to Trent Williams for two more years, you've got Colton McKivitz locked up for 4 years, you haven't drafted an offensive tackle in 4 years, you bring in Vidarian Lowe, I think J.C. Davis kind of pushes Austin Pleasance back to the practice squad, and now you have your development in-house piece that you could move to guard. You could kick him into left guard if you wanted to. He just shores up a lot of spots. I love J.C. Davis. He's my second. My favorite player in this draft, Malik Muhammad, cornerback, Texas. My second player, J.C. Davis, offensive lineman from Illinois. Those are my two favorite players in this draft. I love it. Now, pick 139. I've got him going running back. There's no way Shanahan gets out of that fourth round without taking a running back. I got Damon Claiborne, speed guy. He's flawed. But at least Shanahan's not spending a third-round pick back into the fourth round. I'm okay with it. You actually need running backs. I would prefer them not to draft one, but you got to get a running back at some point. You just have no depth. It is Christian McCaffrey. Then it's Jordan James, Patrick Taylor Jr., Isaac Garrido, who I don't expect to be on this roster much longer. Now, the extra pick, 212 that you got in the trade back, I'm taking safety Cole Wisniewski, another guy that they met with. Safety out of Tech, you plug him in as well. So now special teams, you can kind of move him around a little bit. He's got some versatility as well. So you're getting a lot of flex in at the back end to shore up, hey, we've got elite depth now, and we can figure this out. That's the idea. So these are the guys that the 49ers are going to pick. Don't get mad if I go 0-4, which is very likely. But I got Malachi Lawrence, Skylar Bill, Takario Davis, Zane Durant, Jack Injuries, J.C. Davis, Damon Claiborne, Cole Wisniewski. Those are the players the 49ers are going to pick. Ooh, Wisniewski. Oh, there we go. If anybody knows how to say it, it's definitely going to be Wisniewski. I'm going to pull this up here on the Beast. Does he have the pronunciation there? I don't think it's going to. It's not Wisniewski. It's Wisniewski. All right. I'm excited about this. Yeah, right here. Wisniewski is how he. It's got the. Here, I'm going to put this. just because every time I read the pronunciation guide, I'm just like, oh, I can't even figure out the pronunciation guide. Here is what the pronunciation guide is in the Beast. It's Wisniewski. Texas boys are a little bit different. I'm just going to be honest. Anyway, but Wisniewski sounds better. it wouldn't go through. Here we go. Let me see here. Yeah, this is the way that it's put in the Beast, which, you know, you do with that. John Chapman in pronunciation, man. It is just rough. It is rough. But again, another 6'3", 219 safety, can play your big nickel role, could play linebacker, can play safety. He can kind of do a little bit of everything. Get those versatility pieces. When the Niners have a draft, they have their post-draft press conference. Here's what you're going to hear. Versatility, we can play him a lot of spots. We didn't think that he could beat out the people on our roster, or we didn't think the guys we have on our roster we liked more than the guys that were available. So, you know, why didn't you draft a center? Why didn't you draft a tackle? Why didn't you draft a guard? Those questions, we didn't think that there were guys available that could beat out what we have on our roster. It's what you're going to see. So, anyway, join us tomorrow. This is the last show I'm doing before the draft. We will be live at 4:45 p.m. Pacific time. That video's up. So once you're done with this, go over there, click the bell. So when we go live, you join us. We'll be live day one, day two, day three. But all of you have homework. Email me, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. Your five guesses at who the 49ers will pick in this draft weekend. Whoever gets most, you get a free rush hat. 49ers rush hat. Come on, man. You're going to look cooler than me. Probably not. But you'll look cool nonetheless. It's what it is. You guys are my favorite. This was a wonderful show. I'm pumped. I hope you're pumped. The Niners are getting better. Even if they screw up this draft, they're still going to get better. And that's what we need. Thank you guys for all the positivity and support. You're incredible. Can't wait to hang out all weekend talking Niners and new players. And, man, we're going to have film breakdowns over on the 49ersrush.com. We're going to have, you know, oh, this is a great week, man. I love draft week. All right, I'm going to go watch draft day, get even more excited. Can't wait. You guys are the best. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.